The Lord's Prayer is 66 words. The Lord's Prayer is 66 words. How about that? The Gettysburg Address is 286 words. And there are 1,322 words that define the entire Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. And government regulations on the sale of cabbage total 26,911 words. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The Lord's Prayer is 66 words. The Gettysburg Address is 286 words. And there are 1,322 words in the Declaration of Independence, and government regulations on the sale of cabbage total 26,911 words. Now, that really gives you something to think about, doesn't it?
It really lets you know that to sell cabbage is more complex than to live our pure lives as defined in the Lord's Prayer, to give gratitude for those who have served their country and for the direction in which a country is going to go, as said by Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address, and 1,322 words defining the entire status of the United States of America in the Declaration of Independence to establish a new country, to establish a new world, which has become one of the largest, most important countries in the world, and yet who does its very best not to tell other countries how to run their world, not to tell other countries how to run their lives, and yet, like a father, always being there with a helping hand when necessary, and like a father, never appreciated, because when you're there to guide somebody while they're doing something that's not to their benefit, they don't like you. And the sale of cabbage, I was going to say garbage, the sale of cabbage in the United States takes almost 30,000 words. Interesting. They really must have some limitations and some hesitations on cabbage. I wonder what they do with some of the other things. Maybe strawberries have some interesting things too. But think about it. A mother who loves her son, and there are very few of them in the world, a mother who loves her son has one word that she says to her son at all times. Yes. And mothers don't use that word. They use no. And they call that love, but they don't use yes. If a mother would use the short word yes to everything her children do, they would be the most beautiful children in the world. Because the mother would say, yes, you may do that. Now you realize the consequences, of course, but you may do whatever you want to do. You may do anything you like to do. And you realize that what you do, others will do to you too. But that's up to you. You make the decision. And they start from little on. Start from when they're just little toddlers. Because little toddlers understand. They need to be taught how to make judgments and how to make values. But not make the values, but understand the values. And very few words will do it. In giving the Lord's Prayer, Jesus spoke only these 66 words, which defined man's relationship to the infinite, man's relationship to the divine, man's relationship to himself, how he can live his life to its highest and best. Much words bring us very little understanding. Few words bring us great understanding. Oh, sweetheart, you want to go to the show on those violences and things like that? You may go, You know my opinion, of course. You may do anything you want to do because you're your own judge. But if you were a mother, would you tell your children they could do anything they want to do because you raise the finest children in the world who always have good values and always have good judgment? It's your judgment. I say yes, you can do anything you want. You have to say, do you want to do it? Most parents have this very ugly statement. Go and make your father proud of you. Go and make your mother or family proud of you. You know, don't go out and make yourself proud of yourself. Go out and make somebody else proud of you. And so from the very get-go, we are taught that we are of little value. We live, move, and have our being for our parents or for our teachers or for somebody else in our life. We aren't taught that we are valuable beings and that we should do that. Now, you say, well, my kids are grown. They're 40s and 50s, you know, and my kids are teenagers. And my gosh, that's too late to tell them these things. My teenagers are in their 20s now, and I can't go tell them how to run their family. That's right. What kind of parent had you been? Did you teach your children values? Did you teach them to stand on their own feet? Did you teach them to do unto others as they would have others do unto them? My goodness sakes, that's a simple statement. Very simple statement. Very simple statement. How many little children have said, no, no, don't hit your sister, don't hit girls, and don't be mean to boys. Don't pick on boys. You pick on boys, and then they're going to want to pick on you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you know? Well, and that goes both ways, for girls as well as boys, you know? For men as well as women. It goes both ways, for dogs as well as cats. I love the attitude people have about dogs and cats. Dogs don't like cats, and cats don't like dogs. If a dog and a cat are raised in a harmonious situation together, they love each other. Who's teaching them that they don't like each other? Somebody comes in the yard and we say to our dog, go get them, chase them out of here. They don't belong here in that yard. Never tell a dog that. Just say, stay here now. And you go away. They go away, not our dog chase them away. Because our dog is a lover. We don't ever need a dog to protect us unless we think that the world out there is not nice. And if we think that the world out there is a wonderful, beautiful world, then what happens? It's a wonderful, beautiful world. It's just up to us what we're going to create out there. We don't know how powerful our thoughts are. Our thoughts create every experience we have in our life, and that's the way it is. Do you understand? That's the way it is. Now, we have a seating arrangement at the table here I made a number of weeks ago, and I said, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here. And this morning, Ellen came in the house, and she is used to sitting in a certain location, you know, historically, and she forgot. And she went back to her historical situation, and she sat there. And I thought to myself, all is in divine order. That's now where Ellen sits. And that's now where everybody else sits. And Ingeborg sits where she sits, and Sylvia sits where she sits from now on until I say different, you know. And why? It's just, that's the way it happens. Now, I say to people who come into my life, I'm really not interested in you. I'm interested in your divinity, but I'm not interested in your humanity. If you don't like yourself, that's of no interest to me. If you hate yourself, that's of no interest to me. If you don't know how to get along with yourself, that's of no interest to me. If you want to be sick, I say, voila, good for you. If you want to be well, the same. Good for you. I have no concern. And if you're going to be sick, die as soon as possible, because being sick and dying just go together. And the more we concentrate on sickness The more we concentrate on that, the more we bring it into our life. Today, there's a plethora of literature in the free market that comes to every home as pure garbage. It tells you all about the latest discoveries, for everything to fungus on your toenails to sex, you know, and having better sex and keeping an erection. Well, wonderful. My goodness sakes, we really need that in our everyday diet. We really need. What we should do is, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I would say, for myself as well as everybody else, take all of the books you have on health and medicine and upcare and put them aside. I don't say throw them out, just put them aside. If you have them as your daily literature, your daily reading material, and sometimes we do, you know, if we have that as our daily reading material, we're going to experience the things we read about. Now, if you read about it so that you can handle a situation you're having, that's a different thing. But you shouldn't be having that situation. You should be living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, you see, these are the things, these are the words that parents should teach their child. The mother shouldn't say to their child, "Oh, what's wrong, sweetheart? What's wrong? Oh, my little dear, my little darling." She should say, "Well, sweetheart, yeah, everything's whole and perfect now. Come, let me give you a kiss." "But, Mom, my head hurts." "I'll give you a kiss." "Mom, my brain hurts." "I'll give you a kiss." "Come, my knee hurts." "I'll give you a kiss." Do you know what love is? Most people don't know what love is. Love is unconditionally seeing another person whole and perfect and beautiful. And if we're going to see other people with needs for kissing, then we got problems too. Let's see everybody whole and perfect. See everybody beautiful. See everybody fantastic. And if we see everybody that way, it's going to have to do one thing. It's got to start with us. We got to see ourselves whole and perfect first before we can ever see the whole world. Why? Because the world is a reflection of us. And if we are sickly, the world's going to be sickly. And all the sickly literature is going to come to us. It's going to, what do they call that on, don't answer me, what do they call that on the internet? What do they call that on email? They call it spam. They call it rotten, 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 rotten. Everybody hates spam. But you know, they talk about some little thing in spam that titillates the interest of somebody, and you open it, and you look at it, and you're in, you're hooked. Don't even look at it. They tell you this. Don't even open the spam. Sam, don't even open it. Don't even look at it. Don't even touch it. Just delete it or put it in your refused, blocked box or whatever you're going to do, but don't touch it. The minute you touch it, you are tainted. You are diseased by the very thing you touch. Don't touch the spam. Some things get into the spam box that shouldn't. And I recognize my email or email from my friends, and so I pull it out and I say, "Hey, they're okay." But that's my choice. Maybe they're not okay. maybe the internet knows more about them than I do, and there's something spammy about them, and I shouldn't really have anything to do with them. You know, maybe that's too, you know? And it's interesting. I won't tell you who all came in this spam, but and I think that they're wonderful people, but they came in as spam. And maybe my stuff comes to other people as spam, too. Yeah. I mean, I've got to realize the shoe's on two sides there. be careful. If the Lord's Prayer can be given to us, the relationship between us and our divine, in 66 words, if President Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which is one of the most magnificent pieces of rhetoric, written on the back of an envelope on the way to Gettysburg from Washington, you know, I mean, what an illumined mind, what an inspired mind. in just 286 words. And it's a Declaration of Independence written by how many men? I don't know the number, but there's a tremendous number of men who have written the Declaration of Independence. They didn't really write it. They signed it. But they came to the agreement. And I think it was Jefferson that wrote it or somebody like that. But they came to the agreement on just that many words, 1,322 words, to spell the Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence, the values of a new country. What a marvelous thing to do. And we have diarrhea of the mouth, as they say of us. Not, perhaps I'm just as guilty as anybody else. And talk. But maybe out of something, maybe one or two words might come out to be worthwhile. And I think the word that comes out is the word yes. And Ellen says, but I can't say yes to everybody. Yes, you can. You can say, when you are a good person, I'd be very happy to go with you. Yes, when you are doing this, I'm pleased about it. But the thing is, or yes, you have the choice of going out, and I have the choice of saying, yes, I do not choose to go out with you, you know? But it's always yes. Now, you say, Herb, that makes it very difficult. Yes, you know what it does? It makes you think. It makes you think if you have to say yes. You have to think, what are you saying yes to? And you don't say no to anything. You don't do it. You say, yes, you clean up your act, and I'm happy to go with you. Yes, because they're our reflection, they're our creation. What we see is what they are. What they are is what we see. But we see it. So we have to take our own house and put it in good shape. Now I'm going to go to the East Coast, and I'll leave this morning, and I'll be flying at American Airlines, and we will go to Dallas first, and then to New York, and it'll be a lovely flight. But when I get there, I'm going to talk to a number of churches. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five altogether, something like that. Five churches, and in each church, I'm going to tell them yes. I'm going to tell them these things that we talk about in each church. Now, it's a very simple thing, and they're going to come away and say, where's the theology in that, you know? Where is the God speaking to his creation in that? Well, please, even if you take the Old Testament and tear it apart in every way, the first chapter is pretty powerful. And what did the creative cause of the universe say as it finished its creation? It says, this is my creation, and it is good and very good. And can we say any less? Can we say any less of our creation? So let's get on the ball and start acting like we are divine. And when we start acting like it, it is done. It is done unto us according to our belief. These are the words we're thinking about today. The Lord's Prayer is 66 words. The Gettysburg Address is 286 words. And there are 1,322 words in the Declaration of Independence. Wow. And the United States government regulations on the sale of cabbage have 26,911 words. Now, that's okay. That's okay. Why does it have so many words? Because it has so many aspects of it. The regulation on the sale of cabbage should be, all cabbage should be in its primo condition to be sold to the government. Any cabbage not in primo condition, the government will not consider. That's all. Now, what is that, maybe 50 words, 100 words? Now, that's all. Now, why? Now, if cabbage has a little borer in it, or if cabbage has any the poisons on it for keeping worms out and stuff, no, you see, but that's not the point. The cabbage must be good, sound, solid, healthy cabbage, and cleaned to be sold to the government, pure, pure and simple. You want your children to associate with other children who are children of value. And can you see why royal families cannot allow their children to associate with everybody? Because their children are not everybody. Their children are princes and princesses, and they should be treated like princes and princesses and not one of the common herd. A common person can never be a prince or princess. You say, well, Princess Diane did all right. No, Princess Diane was always a princess. She was always a divinely wonderful creature who lived with many values. She had a few false values, but she lived with many wonderful values, and she proved herself to be a most marvelous lady. And even the royalty of the royal house did not have the respect that she had from the people. So there's something good there. Mm-hmm. There's something good there. And that good didn't come because she was a queen or a princess or something. It came because of who she was. And that who she was is what every prince and princess should be. That who she was is what every human being should be. And when we are, we can be it. And when we are it, life is wonderful. Well, I will have a lovely flight, and you will have a lovely day, and you know that I am thinking of you all along the way. I love you. I love you.
I love you.